Hello again. Still feeling toasty, still feeling good. It looks very homey in the tent to me. Maybe I'm just optimistic, but it looks comfortable, cozy. Everybody's bundled up. Your living rooms at home look really cozy to me as well, but glad you're joining us if you're online. And last week we did good with the comments, and I got to go read and say hi. Well, it was after the fact, so I couldn't say hi to you, but I got to see you say hi. So I look forward to reading the comments after service again and saying hi. It's exciting. We have communion at the end of service today, so we'll look forward to that. But let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, thank you for your grace to us and your love for us. And we are gathered here to listen to what you have to speak to us this morning. So please open our hearts and just be with us. Your presence is what we're searching for. We trust your decisions. We trust your guidance in our lives. And we're here to look to you for those things. Pray for your comfort this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're taking a quick break this week from our series in 1 Thessalonians. We are in Lamentations chapter 3, if you want to turn your Bibles there. The title for our study is Thankful Grieving. Thankful Grieving, as you turn your Bibles there. A simple summary for the topic this morning is an encouragement as we are deep in uniquely difficult times in our country and in our families, many at this church. When we talk about grieving this morning, when we say thankful grieving, by grieving, we don't necessarily mean grieving the loss of a loved one, though that could be included here for sure. What we mean is those who are sorrowful, those who are afflicted, those who are suffering, who are troubled, who are weakened, who are hurting, who have lost in some notable way. So that the word grieving, you think grieving in your spirit, that the type of pain that you're going through. We're going to focus most of our day today on verses 22 through 33. That's the real passage in Lamentations chapter 3 that we're focused on. But before we get into those verses, I wanted to just read the preceding 21 verses so that we get the context of the tone of the chapter as we move into the rest. So let's read in verses 1 through 21. Just going to read straight through. We're not going to cover this specifically, but just so that we get the idea of the tone of the chapter. In verse 1, again, Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with the bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Pretty intense language in that chapter, or in those first 21 verses. So this is, the author of this book is probably Jeremiah, the prophet. And if you remember, if you think back to our Daniel study, when we're going through the book of Daniel, Daniel read from Jeremiah a bit, and Jeremiah was the prophet who was preaching prior to the exile of the nation of Judah, who was the remnant of the nation of Israel at the time. Prior to exile, Jeremiah was warning the people, and Jeremiah lived into Babylon coming and taking over his people. So when we read through Daniel, we were seeing from Daniel's perspective what it's like to be in Babylon already. We missed out a little bit on the heartache of the nation itself, though we caught it some at the end of the book of Daniel. But here, probably Jeremiah is crying out of the heartache of seeing his nation, God's chosen people, being overtaken by the nation of Babylon. You can imagine the pain that he can feel as someone who is a prophet preaching to the nation of Judah, preaching for repentance, wanting to see Israel or Judah not be brought into exile by the Lord, and the pain of seeing that actually take place all at once. So this chapter is crying out to the Lord, overwhelmed in this grief, surrounded by this grief. Today, many of us here in our church are suffering similar types of grief in our families and with sicknesses, with difficulties that we're going through, which is why I thought it would be appropriate for us to just take a break from Thessalonians to look at how with our grief, particularly in a time of Thanksgiving, how do those things combine with the Lord? So many of us are dealing with some form of grief. Remember, grief is a broader term, the grieving of our soul. So it applies to our sicknesses that we have in the churches. It applies to our family struggles we have in the churches. It applies to this COVID situation in many ways. Some of us are having a good time right now in life. Life is kind of working out. And for those of us who are in that mode, we are actually surrounded by many of the people who are personally grieving as well. So in either of those scenarios, I think this is a very timely topic for us to listen to the Lord on. Either we ourselves are grieving in some way, some capacity, or the people around us right now are grieving in some capacity. And certainly, we're all going to be grieving in some capacity in the future. So we just wanted to stop from our regular study series to just listen to the Lord on this topic. So today we're gonna weep with those who are weeping in our church community and see where God is in all of that. As many of you know, one of the notable griefs for Morgan and I in 2020 was our miscarriage earlier this year. And in times of grief, people try to comfort you in many different ways and are very caring. And in this moment, in this grief, in this miscarriage, I really didn't have anything I wanted to talk to anybody about, because I really felt like there was really nothing to say at this point. For me, in this grief, in this moment, that I felt like I knew the answers that I needed to know. I knew how something like this could happen. We didn't know why the miscarriage happened, but I knew like the biblical answers that I felt like I needed. But what I really wanted was I wanted people to be with us. And that's what we couldn't have because of COVID. We couldn't have people be with us. And today, similarly, I don't think that today's all about answers in this text. It's not like we're getting all the answers to why and how it's happened and such. But we do find God himself, and we do find our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church sitting together, being with each other through the difficult time. So focusing in on the topic for today in verses 22 through 33, we'll start in just verses 22 through 26, focused on knowing God's mercies. In verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, feel that change in tone immediately. We just went through 21 verses of this painful crying out to the Lord. And really, the whole book of Lamentations is this painful crying out to the Lord. And the one hopeful part of the book is the part that we're covering, the very center of the book. This chapter 3 is like the center chapter of the entire book, and this passage is the center chapter of the center, or the center passage of the center chapter of this whole book. The very, very center, the peak, the focus, the crescendo of what we find in the deepest of despair, in the middle of it all, what do we find? God's mercy. Now, verse 22 begs the question, who could be thankful when so much has been taken from us this year? Fortunately, that isn't a score that we want to keep. God's gifts far exceed our troubles. For some examples, this verse gives God's mercy, which is all that he's given us that we don't deserve. So at a very basic level, you could count life as one of those things. You can count the people around you as one of those things. You can count your resources that you do have. Of course, you're in need, but the resources that you do have as things that God has given you that you don't deserve on your own. Another example in the verse is compassion. Compassion is all the things that God has given us, that God has taken away from us, rather, that we couldn't handle. Some of that is stuff that we know of, where we prayed to God, please take this from me this year, and he did. Give me relief from this, Lord. Please come through for me on this point, Lord. I need your help in this way in my life, Lord. Reached out to the church and asked for prayer in this way, and God came through in many of those ways. But even more are the things that God had compassion on us that we don't even know about, that we weren't even aware that something was coming our way and the Lord saved us with his compassion from. So when we start counting the score of the things that are for us, God has given us great mercies, has taken from us in compassion such difficult things. In verse 23, God is faithful to apply his mercy to us each day in new ways without us even earning it. Each day, the Lord looks at what our needs are and what our desires are, and he applies his mercy and his compassion to us new. So why do I struggle to see God's gifts in the midst of my grief sometimes? Well, since it is God who sustains me, and God who fills my needs, I can have hope through the midst of grief. I'm not relying on my current situation, or I'm not relying on a set of random events to provide for me. But I fully am relying on the Lord. I'm trusting in God who sustains me. I'm trusting in God to be the one who fulfills my needs. Our answer in the midst of grief, our best action is to seek the Lord and to wait for the Lord with long suffering. Long suffering is the word that Scripture, keeps bringing us back to, that Our plan is to run at the Lord, seek the Lord, but then wait for him. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we expect for our feeling of grief and our prayers, our crying out of God on this grief to immediately be resolved by the Lord, to immediately receive that compassion or that mercy from him. But sometimes that compassion and mercy and grace is coming, but not that quickly. In Jeremiah's case, he wouldn't see the day that Babylon fell and that Judah was restored, that Judah could go back to Jerusalem. He wouldn't even see that day happen. And sometimes that resolve isn't immediate. And that's why our waiting on the Lord and our seeking on the Lord is done in the form of long suffering. That we're willing to wait as long as the Lord wants us to wait for the result that the Lord is looking for, because we trust him with that. We don't grieve in the meantime while we're going through the struggle. We don't grieve as if there's no hope. This weekend we went to our family. We saw our family social distanced outside with masks. It was really annoying, to be honest, but to not be able to hug them and not be able to go inside and everything. But we got to see our family, which was cool. We haven't seen them in a while. And two of our nieces were playing in the yard with toys and such. And the younger sister came up and took the toy from the older sister. And that's something that happens commonly with siblings. The older sister just collapsed, just fell down, looked on the ground, so sad. It was so sad. And immediately, you know, the parents stepped in and resolved the situation, got the toy back, and talked about sharing and all of that stuff that you talk with kids. And then immediately the older sister is just excited again. And yay, let's go play, you know. And this roller coaster in just a couple moments that our niece went through, of happiness to sad, my child to just go take the toy back from her younger sister. So just all hope in the world is gone because my toy's gone. And then, oh yay, my toy's back and I'm happy again. All this crazy movement of her emotions without the heavenly context in our lives. Our lives can take that same roller coaster ride of expectations. We can go from being happy that life is going our way, things are good for us right now, woohoo, things are great, to completely overwhelmed. I lost my job, I lost a family member, we're sick, I'm lonely. And then when God eventually comes through with the mercy, the grace, the compassion, then we're back to happy again. Yay, like everything's going well. And of course, our lives in that sense aren't trivial things like a toy for a kid. But in the same way, our perspective, just like the kid's perspective is so zoomed in on the toy, you know, our niece's perspective is so zoomed in on the toy that was everything in that moment. Our perspective can get so zoomed in on our life. And instead, if we have the Lord's perspective, a heavenly mindset perspective, we know the fuller story of our experience in this grieving, then we have less of that hopeless type of grieving. Still true grieving, and we feel this chapter. There's real grief here. But it's not this hopeless grief where I don't know what's going to happen. That brings us to verses 27 through 30, where we're focusing on living God's sorrows. Verse 27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. So why did God let this happen to me? Something that we all ask at some point. And this verse suggests that the younger we ask this question, the younger we're faced with this grief, the easier it is to learn the answer to this question. The technical answer to why did God let this happen to me includes free will, people, God giving people the choice, the option to make choices, good and bad. The technical answer includes the fall of humanity, of sin tainting this world. The technical answer involves God's redemption plan of God not taking bad things out of this world, saving that until more people are saved. The technical answer is easy. The emotional answer, however, is much harder. The emotional answer of why is this happening to me? Why did God let this happen? It takes time. It takes time of grieving with the Lord. It takes time of grieving and seeking the Lord and waiting on the Lord and working through the emotions with the Lord. That's what this whole book of Lamentations is about, working through those emotions with the Lord. And you can see in the passage that we're focused on this morning that the Lord answers that cry. So, I mean, I love to talk about the philosophical, theological, technical answer all day long. But really, that's the easy answer. The hard answer is the emotions, the emotional answer of us fully grasping, understanding in my life, in my heart, why this is happening. And that's something we work through with the Lord over time. So how should I grieve then? Verse 28 gives us some answer. Verse 28 through 30. We actually find peace in our grief because we're trusting in God's control, even in the midst of our grief. And the biggest thing is we're trusting in the presence of God in our life. That we're actually not just alone on an island with this grief, but that God is walking beside us, is holding us in this grief, is holding us. His presence is with us. He is with us. So we find peace in the grief, knowing he's in control, knowing he's with us. In verse 29, we also hold a posture of submission to God. We're not trying to push away from the Lord. We're not trying to rebel from his call in our lives, which often happens with people who are grieving. People who are in grief internally, they try to push away from the Lord. But instead of that, we're actually submitting. We're actually getting closer to the Lord. We're actually trusting his decisions more. We're trusting what he has planned for us even more. And in verse 30, we're actually experiencing a healthy comfortability in grief. It might sound crazy, but knowing that we're following in Jesus' footsteps ourselves. Jesus had a lot of that grieving of his spirit in his walk on the earth, understands where we are at completely. And we're following in those footsteps with him, dealing with working through the grief of this fallen world that we're in, living in that, and find some sort of a... It's not like we're seeking out grief. It's not like we want more grief. But we're experiencing a healthy comfortability in that because of our trust in the Lord. And again, just to remind us that when I talk about grief, I'm talking about a broader concept than just grieving a loss of a loved one, but sorrow, being afflicted, suffering, being troubled, weakened, hurt, having lost, that feeling inside, grieving of our souls. One of the emotional challenges of COVID is the many unknowns, the things that we don't know about COVID. We don't know how dangerous it is or not exactly. We don't know how long it will last, when we'll be able to go back to the way things were, or if ever. We don't know how to stay safe exactly. We try to do as many safety measures as we can, but nothing's a guarantee. That's one of the bigger challenges of our miscarriages with Morgan and I, is not knowing. We had tests done, tons of tests on ourselves and on the babies, but not knowing, there's no answer. Everything was healthy. We don't always have the answers, but we do always have the Lord walking with us. Living through grief with the Lord becomes something that we can understand and something that we can do, something that we can handle. As we walk through that grief with him, we're crying out to the Lord, we're waiting on the Lord, we're seeking the Lord, and he's attending to us over time. Over time, we're growing in the Lord on this point. That brings us to the final part of what we're focusing on this morning, verses 31 through 33, where we see receiving God's hope. In verse 31, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." You might ask, how long can I keep going in this grief? How long can I stand this? How long will I last? Good news. All grief is limited to those who love Jesus. Either it's limited to a short time on this earth, relatively speaking, or it's limited until Christ returns. But in either case, it's limited. Morgan and I were talking, driving back from our family's house, that it's so nice to have Thanksgiving and Christmas around this time of year, and that's something to look forward to. Like, I don't really want to go back to work tomorrow, but I can kind of look forward to in a couple weeks. I'm gonna have Christmas and the holidays and such, and that kind of motivates me. In the same way, in our grief, we have an end date at some point. It's not a hopeless, never-ending grief. Where is God in my grief? Is the final question that we can ask this morning. In verse 22, we get some answers. God is actually taking an active role in our grief. It might surprise you to hear that from Scripture, that God is actually taking real steps to allow things to afflict us. An active role in that. But God also acts in an abundance of compassion. He is actively saving us from even more than he's actively afflicting us with. So we don't claim that God is trying to stop all bad things. We're trying to protect us from all bad things. We trust that his decisions, that God's decisions on what bad things to allow or not, that his decisions are the best decisions. That's what we trust in. Not that all bad things are just going to go away. God's goal isn't to grieve us, isn't to bring pain upon us, but to work all things for the good of those who love him. My dad used to take me to get shots when I was a kid, and I remember because we used to get parfaits at McDonald's afterwards, but the shots hurt a lot. My dad also let me play sports and sprain all my fingers from time to time. My dad also used to try to stop me from getting attacked by our dog. That was a little bit aggressive. I didn't know what my dad was protecting me from. I didn't know what my dad was letting me experience the pain of. I didn't know what had nothing to do with me, was just completely separate from me. I didn't understand how all that worked. I just trusted that my dad was looking out for me. I trusted that he was taking care of me, that he knew what was best. I didn't figure out all the ways that it worked. I just trusted that he really had my best interest at heart and he was taking care of me. We don't always know what God's doing. We don't know what God's saving us from in totality. We don't know what he'll let happen to us in the future or right now. We do always know, and we do trust, that he's there for us and that he knows what is best for us. And so we're trusting him with those decisions, those extremely difficult decisions that I know I couldn't make. I don't think any of us would say that we could probably make those decisions. We're trusting God with those decisions, trusting God with the outcome. So the rest of the chapter, verses 34 through 36, is an answer by God. And verses 34 through 54 is probably Jeremiah, the author of the book, admitting his own guilt in the matter. In verses 58 through 66, he's asking for justice to who came against him. But I want to narrow in on verses 55 through 57. This is where the Lord answers our cries. Let's read verse 55. "I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. Brothers and sisters, that is what the Lord speaks to us this morning. Do not fear. That's his message. We can thankfully rest in him in the midst of our grief, in the midst of the grief of those around us, because the Lord has turned to us this morning and said, do not fear. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your voice to us, encouraging us not to fear, being with us in our grief, helping us be with those who are grieving around us. We trust you with your decisions this morning. We trust you with your comfort, your presence with us this morning, that you're here walking through this with us. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a little bit, if you're here this morning in person, if you're in the neighborhood listening, if you're online watching, and you've never trusted Jesus, we're going to take communion after this prayer. And communion is where we remember what Jesus did, dying on the cross for our sins, raising from the dead, conquering our sins, and giving us eternal life. And this is a meal for our family, our church family, to remember what God has done for us. And we want you to join in this meal, and we want you to accept Jesus this morning. God is calling out to you and calling you to join this family. If you've never trusted Jesus, and you're here in person or you're in the neighborhood, if you want to raise your hand, I would love to pray for you this morning. Anybody never trusted Jesus before that wants to give their life to Christ today? Those of you who are online, who are calling out to God, let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those who are listening online, who have decided to follow you today. I pray that they believe in the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection, and they trust you with their lives. They trust that you will forgive them of their sins on Christ's sacrifice, and trust that you will give them new life, and they can follow you. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second longer, if you've already accepted Jesus and you're here this morning, but you are dealing with grief of some sort that is paining you and you're crying out to the Lord this morning, or maybe your life is in a good spot right this moment, but you are grieving with those who are around you. If you'd like prayer for your grief in that way, or prayer for the grief of your loved one, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Amen. 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 Anybody else want to be included? Amen. Amen. Anybody in the neighborhood? Anybody online? If you raise your hand, I'll pray for you as well. Father, thank you for these who have raised their hands in person and online, who are crying out to you in their grief and sharing with the grief of those around them and the grief of Lamentations. We don't have tons of answers for all of the different questions. We have you, Lord. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning. And I pray that you help be with those who are raising their hands. You be with them in their grief. Comfort them, help them grow and seek you and understand more over time and heal over time. But hear their cries, Lord. Give them mercy. Give them compassion, Lord. For those who are crying with others, pray that you give them your compassion, your mercy, and help them be with those who are hurting. Lord, we ask all of these things in the context of being extremely thankful for who you are and what you've done. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.